Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. Welcome to another show with our guest today, Karen Berry. We're going to be talking about what every new writer needs to know. During this conversation, we'll be discovering the difference between self-traditional and hybrid publishing, the difference between a freelance editor, an agent, and an editor, also why it takes so long to get published, why new authors need to hire editors, why authors need to start platform while they're still writing, and the best resources for writings. We'll cover some different strategies for finishing your book manuscript, as well as ways to stay encouraged. Our guest today is Karen Berry. She owns Write Now Editing, where she helps authors turn good manuscripts into great books. And when she's not editing or teaching, she writes hopeful fiction with a healthy dose of romance. Her website is writenowedits.com. And she is also going to be, along with me and others, she's going to be at the Well Conference as a trainer. Plus, she is also available as a speaker for your event. So you can get, and there's a code below if you want to come to the Well and join us there. You can see that right below. Welcome to you, Karen. So happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you guys today.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have you here. And your background, it isn't very clear in your bio, but you have a long background of lots and lots of editing.
Yeah, it was kind of out of necessity. I actually started because I wanted to see if I could write a novel, and I did. And I knew nothing about the editing process, so I hired the wrong editor. And I didn't realize that for several years. So when I was ready to edit my manuscript, I couldn't afford it because I already spent my money. So I had to teach myself about it. And now I like to tell people I'm actually an editor who writes, because I think I like the editing process more than I actually like the writing process.
That's so funny. So like womenspeakers.com that I host, over there, I always say, are you a speaker who writes or a writer who speaks? So you're an editor who, no, you're a writer who edits.
Well, I'm an editor who writes now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got it backwards. Yeah, that's so fun. I love that. Yeah. Love that. Well, real quickly, just as an overview, tell us like the difference between the types of editing, or I'm sorry, the types of publishing that are available to new authors right now.
The three main ones, are the self-publishing, which is where you are going to take on all of the burden yourself. You're doing everything for yourself. So the writing, the editing, the formatting, cover design, distribution, all of it. Now, the benefit is that you get more money because you're putting all of the money into it. So you're going to make more on what you sell. Traditional publishing is where you're going to take your manuscript. You're going to query usually an agent first and then a publisher. They're going to go, you know, review everything. If they decide to sign with you, you'll get, you know, a smaller royalty, a smaller percentage, but they take care of the formatting, the distribution, cover design. And then now there's this hybrid where you can go to a publisher and you can have them do everything for you, or you can go and ask them just to do a few things. So I did that with a novella where I hired my own editors because I know a lot of editors. So I knew who I wanted to work with. Yeah. And I hired my own cover designer because I knew who I wanted. But they helped me with the distribution and getting it set up on Amazon. So that really was more of the hybrid approach where I did part of it and paid for part of it, and then they did. So there's a lot of options out there. It's just a matter of figuring out which one's going to work best for you and what you want out of your writing career.
Yeah. And then now that we have that kind of out there, then what's the difference between a freelance editor, an agent, and an editor?
This one is key because I'm seeing this conversation on Twitter again where people are wanting to hire agents to do things that they don't do.
Right.
So a freelance editor is someone that you as an author work directly with. You find the freelance editor, you hire the editor, and you're going to work directly with them on whatever type of editing your manuscript needs. An agent is the next step where if you want to traditionally publish, you're going to take your already edited manuscript to them And what an agent does is they sell your manuscript to publishers, or, you know, maybe someday they'll sell it to screenwriters so it can be a movie. Right. But they're really kind of almost that legal middleman. They are not marketing. They are not editing. They might give you some tips on how to clean up your manuscript, or they might say, these are the weaknesses that I see, but they will not go line by line through your story and help you clean that up. And then there are editors at publishing houses, but there are different kinds. They have the acquisitions editors, and those are the people who read the manuscripts and then decide if they want to publish them. And those are usually the people that you're going to work directly with. They're the first people that you meet. If you get that contract, you'll go on to the copy edit, which is really the grammar police. They do all that cleanup and the proofreaders. But that's very different. You have to have your book contract already before you start to work with publishing house editors.
Right. And when you get to the point when you're at the publishing house editor, or when you're at that point yourself, you know, there's many different types of edits that are happening within a book, not just one read through to see what's glaring. I mean, like you said, there's punctuation. There's actually a technical editor that's going to check your facts, make sure mm-hmm. that you're accurate. You know, there's the order. How is the book ordered? We may need to put chapter 12 after chapter 2. You know, I mean, there's all right. kinds of editing that is happening there. And I think the point that you're trying to make here is that an agent is not going to do any of that for you.
Correct. Yes. There's a big
don't look to your agent.
Yeah, they won't do that. They may no. tell you that your manuscript needs to be reorganized, or they may tell you that your manuscript needs an edit, but rarely are they going to edit for the clients that they sign as an agent. That's just something to know going into it. Even if they offer you a contract, that doesn't mean they're going to give your manuscript a thorough editing.
Right. Well, right. And I think that one thing that I want to help maybe clarify here too, is that before you send a manuscript to an agent, you should have it edited before you send it to an agent. Because just because the agent isn't the publisher doesn't mean that the agent just is going to take any manuscript they receive.
Absolutely. And they can see the potential in a manuscript, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the condition that it's in is something that they can try to sell. So they may receive your manuscript and say, this is great, get an edit, and then come back to me. Right. And I do let people know, we won't worry about the details right now, but just know if you're going to hire a freelance editor before you submit, I recommend, you know, a developmental or substantive edit, depending on how you want to refer to it. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that you need to do the copy edit or the proofread before you submit to an agent, because if you do get a book contract, your publisher is going to do that. So you don't necessarily need to pay a freelance editor to do that, to have someone else change it. But if you're self-publishing, you know, you have to do all of that. You got to find everyone to edit on every level.
So I'm hearing you say that the money well spent before sending the manuscript to an agent is the substantive.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Thank you. All right. So let's talk about, and this is huge. When you get a contract with a book publisher, it takes a long time for them to get the book out.
Yes.
And you're thinking, but I could just whip it out myself in a couple months. Why? So maybe from your experience in the publishing industry, why does it take them so long?
You know, the big thing is to remember that publishers are working with multiple authors, and they have many books, depending on the size of the publisher. You know, they may have as few as 4 to 8 books coming out. They may have 200 books coming out in a year. And they do have a pool of editors and they have a pool of designers, but they can only work on so many projects at a time. So your book might be contracted, you know, April of 2023, but it's not going to come out till December of 2024 or even 25, because they need to get you on that schedule to have it proofread, to have it formatted, to have the cover design. And there's, you know, an argument for another time about how much marketing publishers put into it.
Right.
They do still want to put you on the marketing schedule as well.
Right.
And a lot of the behind the things behind the scenes things people don't see is, you know, Publishers Weekly and periodicals like that are a great resource for helping libraries and bookstores know about books, but they operate on a schedule that's 6 months in
advance.
Way
ahead, right.
So if you want, especially as a debut author, if you want your book to be featured in Publishers Weekly, well, you're going to sign your contract this year, but your book can't come out for a year or two because you need to have it finished and bound so that you can send it to Publishers Weekly. So it's just, it's a lot of this behind the scenes stuff that people aren't aware of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the larger the publisher, the more authors there are. So just knowing that they want to make money off of your book. So they are going to publish it as quickly as possible. But they also want to make sure that it's the best book that it can possibly be.
Right.
And that just takes some time.
Right. Absolutely. So we already have been talking about this. Why new authors need to hire editors. Is there anything else that's bubbling to your thoughts as we bring this screen up again here?
You know, the great thing about experienced editors is they don't just understand writing. They should understand to some degree the market as well. And they're not just going to help you with the story. They may be able to give you some feedback on where to pitch your story, which agents to consider. You know, if you let them know, hey, I'm going to send this to an agent who works with general market books, but this is a very Christian book, that might not be the right agent. They understand the genre. And I've had this where people have come to me with, oh, well, I'm writing this genre. And I've read the book. I'm like, no, you're not. So that's going to impact how I edit the story. Right. So, you know, we need to clarify that. And there have been several authors within the last year or so who hired me for critiques or edits. And we're actually now working on a coaching basis because there were some things that weren't clear. They could have submitted, but their manuscripts weren't ready. There was a lot of confusion. Right. So instead of taking that time and getting rejection after rejection after rejection, let's slow it down a little bit. Let's clean up the manuscript and let's improve the chances that you're going to get a yes from an agent or a publisher.
I think what's bubbling to my mind right now is I had taken a class. I was the president of the Friends of the Library. We brought in Mary Casanova, who had a children's series line, and she had published many, many books. And she brought with her her most recent manuscript received back in snail mail from the publisher with all of the edits in red. Mm-hmm. And she passed it around. And this was like a best-selling author with multiple books under her belt. And the whole book was red.
And people don't realize that.
I think, right, new authors have no concept how much better their books can be if given an opportunity to be edited by a professional.
And, you know, for someone in that situation, because she was already an established author, the publisher will work with her because they already know if we invest in her, she's going to sell books. They don't necessarily know that with new authors. So it's on the new author to do that editing and to do that work before they even approach the publishing house.
Yeah. There's just so much editing that needs to be done on a book. That's the key to keep in mind. Okay. Why authors need to start platform while they're still writing.
Nobody likes to talk about platform. I get it. We all hate it. We wish that it wasn't anything that we needed to worry about. But at this point, we all know that platform matters. So when you submit to an agent or a publisher and you tell them, I don't have a platform, but I'll build one. When I was working as an acquisitions editor, the first thing that came to mind was, well, if you know I want a platform, why aren't you already working on it? And it's not so much that it's a bad thing that you don't have one, but it speaks volumes to the agent and publisher about kind of where your mindset is. Well, I'll do this if I have to. If that's how you feel about platform, how are you going to feel about the edits? Because like you said, the publisher is going to give you edits. Yeah. So if you know something already has to be done, just start working on it now.
Get going.
Yes. And that shows the publisher, hey, I only have 100 followers on Facebook, but I'm working on it. And if you're willing to be flexible and to be teachable and to start working before you even have the contract, that tells them a lot about your work ethic, that when you have that contract, we already know she's a hard worker. We already know that she's doing the work necessary. So that's why right now you've got to, you know, you have to have it, start it. No matter, even if it's small, small is better than nothing.
Shows initiative. Okay. You're going to share with us some of the best, your favorite resources for writers.
This, and this is much more on the technical side of things, because people don't realize that even though it's all writing, there are different resources for everything. If you want to write articles, whether it's online or for newspapers, you need to have the AP style book. That is their go-to for grammar and punctuation. And again, you don't have to have it perfect when you send it in, because they have editors who will work on that. But if you can prove to them that, hey, I've done the work, and I know that in a magazine, they don't use the Oxford comma, so I won't put it in there. That's just, again, it's the same thing with the platform. It's showing initiative. It's showing them that I've done that work. When you are writing for writing books, you need the Chicago Manual of Style. It is atrocious in how big it is. It's 600-700 pages. It can be intimidating, but it's the standard. The one thing that I can't stand hearing is, well, I don't like it this way, so I'm not going to. Nobody cares what you like. There is an industry standard that needs to be met. So you knowing what those are and understanding that grammar rules are different in, you know, magazines and newspapers than they are in books. And even within the Christian market, there's the Christian Writers Market Guide by Robert Hudson. That's the standard when it comes to quoting scripture and do you capitalize deity pronouns? That's the guidebook that's used. So making sure you have those just shows that you're studying, that you're serious about it, because if you're going to invest $60 in a 600 page grammar book, they know you're investing in your career. You're not someone who's going to write one book and move on. But the other big resource, and this isn't one specific, this is kind of in general, and I wish I could be more specific, but just get plugged in with a professional association. I cannot speak highly enough of the professional associations that I've joined. I'm a member of writers and speakers groups, as well as a professional editing network. Just being able to connect with like-minded individuals is invaluable. So whatever you're writing, get involved. There are, you can find them anywhere, you know, talk to some members, talk to other people that you know who are writing similar things and ask what they're involved in. And sign up.
And a lot of those groups have reading groups available to give you initial feedback before you even get to the editing point, to just let you know if you have a good idea, let you know, you know, if you need to perk it up a bit or whatever. And it just is good to know that you're not the only one that needs a critique. You're not the only one that needs editing. You're not the only one writing. it's just helps. Writing, I mean, writing is a lonely business. You're behind your computer a lot.
Yes, it can be very lonely. And this is just a great way to stay connected. And you hate hearing this, but it really is kind of about who you know. The publishing industry really isn't that big. So if you can make some connections, meet a mentor or mentor someone, you never know what that connection, you know, how that will bless you or bless someone else down the line.
Right. Good. Okay. So sometimes people have a manuscript they've been working on for long.
Decade.
How do they get it done? Like, what do you encourage people to do to help them get their manuscript done?
Again, there's no real, there's not any one way to do this, but I encourage you to figure out what your motivator is. For me, I have a paper day planner. I still use that. I have to cross out whatever I put on that day planner. So if I'm going to put down that I have to write 500 words in my manuscript today, I won't cross that out until it's done. And 3 days later, if it's still there, I'm going to sit down and write another 500 words, because that's just a great motivator for me. For some people, it could be the reward system. If you do really well with, okay, if I write another chapter, we're going to order in pizza so I don't have to cook dinner. So it's figuring out what that motivation is for you. Yes. Mm-hmm. And take advantage of that. Another big thing, especially for writers, and I found this to be actually really liberating, and I don't know if it's okay if I plug this. It's a writer.
Sure.
Her name is Allie Plyter, and it's this short little book called The Chunky Method. And it doesn't really tell you much about the book, but it helps you figure out your writing chunk. Can you write in 100 word chunks, or do you need 1,000 word chunk? So if you need to sit down and write 1,000 words at a time, then maybe you only write every other day and you write 1,000 words instead of trying to write 500 words in a day, because that's just painful for you. Yes, that was just a liberating book for me, because I discovered that I'm a big chunk person. I don't do well with 100 words at a time.
Right.
But I can go to a writing retreat and get 3,000 to 5,000 words a day written.
Right.
And that's what I need to do. I need to write my entire manuscript in 30 days and just get it done. So it's a matter of figuring out what your motivators are, what your writing style is, and then just take advantage of it. Whatever motivates you, don't let someone else tell you, well, this worked for me. Congratulations. Figure out what
right. Right. Everybody's different. Absolutely. You know, there's came out a little while ago, Pomodoros, you know, dividing your time into 55 minutes segments. And now they have research that is 25 minutes. That's the golden grail, you know, this is it, you know. But it's so true that each of us functions so differently. And for me, I have a timer beside me that I'm using all the time when I'm working. If I'm not like live like this, then I keep it going. And my sweet spot is 20 minutes, but not for writing. For writing, I actually block my schedule. I put signs on my door. Don't bother me for 2 to 3 hours. That's what my sweet spot is for writing. Otherwise, I lose my train of thought, and I can't remember what I've already said and what I was thinking, and the ideas just don't flow the same. So absolutely. And I think the most encouraging thing that a writer can do is make progress.
Oh, yes. Yes. When you've got one more page done than you did before.
Yeah. When you're moving forward, whether it is today, I'm calling to talk to an editor, or I'm going to a meeting with people who are going to review my work, or I'm going to, you know, check out, I'm going to research this or that. Just moving forward, I think, to me, is some of the most encouraging things that we can do for ourselves. What are some other ways to stay encouraged as a writer?
And this goes back to when I was talking about resources, you know, finding those groups to join.
Yeah.
Because no one understands the pain of rejection like another writer.
Yeah, right.
And no one understands the pain of 50 rejections like another writer.
Right.
And, you know, I've heard, oh, well, then why do you keep doing it? Well, no one understands that other than another writer, because it's hard to explain to people what this desire is, whether you're writing, you know, a nonfiction, that this is just something that the Lord's really stirring in you, that you really want to share with the world, or there's just stories that you want to tell. Having those like-minded people is invaluable. Mm-hmm. But also, in this sounds kind of trite, but you can't compare yourself to others. You absolutely cannot. Everybody's writing journey is different.
Yes.
Everybody, what's going to work for one person won't work for you. The same thing with the publishing. If they're going to self-publish, traditionally publish, everybody has a different idea of what their success is.
Yes.
So you can't just take a blanket, well, what did you do? Because they might define success as one book published, but your goal is to have, you know, 25
series. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So to really stay encouraged, you need to find those people who understand, and the associations are great, writing conferences are fantastic for that, because even if you're introverted, there is nothing like that face-to-face time with somebody who really gets you, who really understands. For me, it's been that. And then also, you know, staying in the Word, man. I have to stay in Scripture. And the Psalms have just been fantastic. You know, you get people who are just whining. And they had, I mean, they have more serious issues than not getting a contract. But to see how, even in the midst of, you know, life-threatening situations, to still be able to rejoice can kind of pick you up. It's like, okay, I got another rejection. Maybe it's not quite so bad, because they're not trying to kill me, at least. And again, I don't encourage you to, you know, you don't want to compare yourself, because that sting of rejection still really stings. But looking at how other people stay encouraged can be an encouragement in and of itself.
I love that you brought up the point about rejections, because who likes that? Nobody likes to be rejected. And in our culture, we like everything instant. I mean, we aren't even patient to begin with. So this journey of needing to send out multiple times to multiple places, hoping that something comes back. One of the things that I discovered and God just really drove into deep into my heart a few years ago was, my hope should be in the Lord alone. And so now, instead of hoping that somebody approves me, or I get in there, or get invited to come, or whatever, I just hope in the Lord. And then I do the next thing.
Absolutely.
And it's really freeing. It's really freeing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, this really is a journey.
It is.
Whether you're writing for yourself or writing for publication, there are so many facets of it. And if you just stay focused on one facet or one aspect, you can miss the big picture of what God's trying to do for you and through you and in you. So if you can do that, if you can stay focused on him, it doesn't necessarily mean the rejection's not going to hurt.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean it's not going to come, but you'll be able to see past the circumstances to the bigger picture.
Right. And it's all about relationship, with God. And, you know, we'll have relationships with our agent or our editor or our readers or whatever, but nothing can trump that relationship with God. So just keep the main thing, as you're going about doing what he's positioned you on earth here to do. Karen, this has been so great. So we are both going to be at the Well conference coming up in April. We would love to see you at the Well. And that's the name of the website, seeyouatthewell.net. I am actually next week giving away 5 tickets to the Well to those of you who want to register for that. And actually, I'm not thinking I put the link here below to do that, but I will add it. I will add it. If you want to make sure you get on that, go to marnie.com, go to the bottom of any page, click connect, and say, I want to register for the Well ticket, and I will get you on that. Also, if you're ready to purchase a ticket, you can save $50 by using the code Marnie50 is what you can use there to get $50 off a registration. To follow up with Karen, you can visit her website, which is rightnowedits.com. Karen, when they go over there, what are they going to find?
You're going to have all of my resources that are hopefully things that will help you develop as a writer and even a self-editor. I do have a blog where I talk to other authors. I've learned so much from other authors myself. So twice a month, they come in and they share their writing tips as well. And I have nonfiction authors and novelists who come in. So if you're looking for some writing tips, suggestions, good conferences, that's a great place to stop. And it's a great place to connect with me. If you have any questions, you can just click again on the contact me, and it'll shoot me an email, and I'm happy to talk about how I can help.
That's awesome. And you guys want to make sure to follow up with her over again at rightnowedits.com. Karen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. This has been a lot of fun. Anytime I can talk about writing is a lot of fun.
Good. And we look forward to seeing you at the Well. See you at thewell.net. Until then, you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.